Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Round two with Leslie Charlson. Come on down. Let me wink at you and blow you a kiss.
So one of the most interesting things about being a recurring character on the show is the joys of seeing other people's dressing rooms. And so when I started on the show, I was recurring, and I have since become recurring once again. And I got to say, your dressing room is one of my favorite to be placed in for a variety of reasons. It's close to the front door. It's got a window.
We are back, item 18, Kelly's.
It's very pleasant in all respects.
Yep.
But your decor is amazing.
No, so he loves it.
Well,
he loves getting your
room. But the great thing is, it's like a slice of what Leslie has been interested in, what she's interested in. Like, it's a nice view into your interests. So for the people, there is the thing that first greets you as you walk in on the right is one of Don Henley's platinum records. So can we start there? Like, I want to talk about your musical interest, because we talked about Elvis a little bit, and I want to talk about that. But Don Henley, how did you end up with one of his platinum records?
I actually don't know. I think it was somebody that worked with him got it for me, and I'd have to go back.
Okay.
But it was make some phone calls.
Oh, okay. But you're an Eagles fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was
big time.
Kind of a cool get for
you. Oh, that was a very cool get, yeah. I've gone to all their concerts and traveled, followed them around.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
And loved them for years and years and years.
So, yeah, when you're on a hit TV show, you can go to fun things. Like, is there anything that you remember in those days, like, wow, I can't believe I got to do that? Like in that respect, do you know what I mean?
Oh, you mean got in something special because of who you are?
Yeah,
or because of GH at the time?
I think there were a couple of things that I know. A friend of mine used to call, and you know,
sure,
she would get me in,
sure,
because I wasn't going to call him. Do you have any idea who I am?
Well, yeah,
I
no,
mean, I
that's
just,
always the worst.
Have
either
Ken Schreiner's the only one who does that with absolutely no.
This is Scotty Baldwin. Who?
Scotty Baldwin.
I play
he
Scotty
used
Baldwin.
To do that on airplanes all the time.
To get bumped to first.
To get bumped to first.
Oh, sure. We've all done that. I have no shame. I used to do that, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But I used to call as my own publicist.
I was going to say, I've always had the idea to maybe do that, but I've never had the guts to do it.
What do you got to lose?
That's a fair point. Yeah. Just a little bit of pride,
I suppose. No pride. No pride at this point?
I mean,
Jackal? You have some pride left? Come on, man.
But you're an Elvis fan too. Now that's been since forever?
Since forever, since a little girl.
Okay.
I did get to meet him once.
What?
You did?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I did. And it was because of Love Is Many Splendored Thing. Oh. Donna and I got to kind of negotiate like hair pieces and nighttime shows out here. Donna was playing a nun, she hated that, which, you know, and I was the bad girl, which is, of course, much more fun.
Oh, of course, sure. Yeah.
So we got to do a lot of our own asking for what we wanted because they needed us.
Oh, yeah. So you had a little leverage.
Yes, thank you. And one of the things was nighttime guest starring on shows out.
You could request that?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Those were the days.
Did you keep that membership card and can I borrow it?
I'm sorry it expired.
In 1986.
I don't think you were born yet, Brandon.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You can't re-up those now.
No.
That is really cool, though. So what?
So I did the one that, about Elvis was it was with Bob Conrad called Wild Wild West.
Mm. Oh, just that small show called Wild Wild West?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I did a few of those shows.
I know.
Shows.
That's amazing.
And I noticed, of course, when I got there, that one of the guys that was doing the stunt work was Red West, which was Elvis's good buddy.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so I became welded to his hip for the duration of the shoot. Finally, he had to relent and say that Elvis was shooting at Paramount. So he said, okay, when we're done shooting Friday, follow me over.
Yeah.
Because you will anyway.
Because I would have anyway, yes. And I just remember driving behind him thinking, oh, I'm so adult now. I've grown up. I am not the idiot kid I was. I've got this all under control. And we walked on the stage, and his father, Vernon, was there. And Elvis was shooting. It was Charo was the film.
Oh, wow.
And Ed said, would you like some coffee? And I said, fine. Black? Fine. So he brought over some coffee, and we were chatting. He introduced me, and then Elvis finished shooting and came over. And Red said, El, I'd like you to meet a little girl. She's working with Bobby Conrad. And El, this is Leslie. Leslie, this is Elvis Presley. And with the coffee in my hand, my right hand,
oh, no.
I extended it to his white jumpsuit with hot coffee,
oh, no.
Poured it all over him,
no,
and announced his serial number when he was in the Army. And hoped to God the floor opened up.
And so you disappeared immediately.
And I be swallowed up. I prayed.
Oh, my
I
gosh.
Prayed all over his suit.
That's
hot
amazing.
Coffee. Yep.
What did he say? Did he say something cool?
He was very hot at the time.
Yeah. He goes, thank you very much.
Bless my soul.
No, thank you very much.
He was very gracious, and he even invited me into his trailer when they were changing his costume.
Okay, mother.
Well, you made this mess. You better clean it up.
Watch out now.
And he invited me to go to Las Vegas, but I declined.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah, and had the windshield wipers going all the way back to the Sportsman's Lodge.
Oh, my God.
Why did I say no?
Wow. Yeah, I invited Bradford to Vegas. He said yes.
Yes, I said, yeah. I'll, yes,
that's
please.
Pretty amazing. Was he as charming in person?
He was.
As everyone
he
says.
He was very, very nice.
Yeah.
He did a little bit of Love Me Tender, and I mean, I was
Oh, my gosh. This dude is
yeah.
a
he
man.
Got, while, he, while they were... You know, because they had to get another white costume.
Well, come on. I imagine he's, he's...
So, yeah.
Steve Burton has 20 black T-shirts. I imagine Elvis has 20 white jumpsuits.
He does, but it takes time because it's like a onesie. So he's got to get it off. And then he was like, hammering my guitar. Love me tender. Then he just played you a song while he was getting his little thing dry cleaned. It was amazing. I love it. That's amazing. Because, you know, we went to Graceland, right, for this convention,
yes.
right?
And they just, I didn't.
And hopefully you can this year. But, they were just – it was just so great to talk to people who had such insight on him and what a gracious person he was and that he would just spend countless hours with fans at the gate.
Yeah.
You know, at the gate. Yeah. He would just – they'd go by and he'd be on his tractor.
Or his horse.
Or his horse. He'd come up to the gate and sit there for an hour and, like, just talk to people, take pictures, autographs, and then go back. It was pretty amazing. The king. He's the king for a reason.
Yeah. Absolutely.
King of rock and roll, baby.
Absolutely. So, and I don't see the...
I
that you gave to me, and then I gave you back.
I have it.
You do.
Well, we have our
soundproofing.
Yeah, we have our soundproofing up. But I never ever have made my room to stay. And the only time I ever really did was at Young and the Restless, and then I left.
Yeah.
It's
not good luck for you.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it again.
Well, that's the way I kind of felt. I mean, I did it first when we got the studios. We all ran in and
decorated.
Made a home.
And, well, I mean, it was the dressing room with the window.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal.
I mean, you know.
Took me a while to get over here.
This is Rodeo Drive.
Took me a while.
Sure.
Yeah, it took me a while.
So there was a lot of fighting and slugging it out for that.
Well, but at that point, there weren't cell phones, so you didn't need to worry about cell service.
No.
You just like natural light.
Yeah.
Yeah. The windows were great. And when I first got on the show, Ken, I would hang out with Ken a lot. And, you know, we go play basketball at lunch and stuff and go eat and whatever.
Ken Schreiner playing basketball?
Oh, he's pretty good at basketball.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember we were coming back from the commissary, and toward the end of the row here, it was Lynn. I don't know if Anna's always been over here, but I thought it'd be funny to moon Lynn Herring and put my nice, you know,
well-toned 20-something buttocks on the
against
window.
The window, press some ham, as they say.
Oh, whose was it?
It was Anna Lee. And she was like, oh, that was very nice.
She loved that.
Oh, she loved it. She was like,
our little geriatric slut.
She was amazing. She was amazing.
Well, you know, speaking of windows, because when we were doing Splendored Thing, it was at the CBS building, and there wasn't a window in the building. I mean, you either had to call the news department and ask about the weather, because we arrived in darkness and we left in darkness.
Oh, sure, right. Yeah.
So we had no idea what went on in between.
Well, you didn't need the weather forecasting because you weren't going to experience it anyway.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And not one window, so it was. This is nice.
Yeah, this is nice. This
little
is
song.
Very pleasant.
So what other passions, Les, that, you know, people can kind of peek behind the curtain? We know you're into horses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, against your better judgment, you love horses.
Do you own boats, too?
I did.
I did. Horses and boats and a money pit house.
I got them all.
It was a trifecta for her.
Yeah. If you want, just pick anything that is going to lose money. Yeah. Okay.
So what's the horse? I mean, I know you've had horses ever since because my wife dabbled for a little while, and we kind of talk about that. And she was over in Burbank with
you. We'd see her at the equestrian center. I have been involved with Andalusians, and they're a Spanish breed. They originally used for bullfighting.
Oh, wow.
So they are known for their wonderful temperament.
Yeah.
You have to be if you're in there with a bull.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're trained not to be flight animals. You know, they have to stick around, literally. And then
well, that's good, because most horses are fairly flighty.
Yeah.
When it comes to stuff.
And that's what happened with people. When I got my very first one, there were only 200 in the country. And Spain did not really want to let us have
them. Didn't want to share them.
Not at all.
No, yeah.
So it was, people wanted, then they figured out who the Andalusian was and what a good mind they had, and gorgeous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to breed it with everything.
Lucky horses.
So they started.
So we have a bunch of mutts running around.
You have a bunch of, Aztec mutts. And, and then, like Bo Derek and another friend of mine.
Wait, hold on. Wait, let's put on the brakes for a minute. Bo Derek's your friend?
No, and another friend.
Okay, great.
I always picture Bo Derek riding a horse. That's when I picture her. I picture her riding a horse.
Well, she started then breeding in color to the Andalusians are basically supposed to be gray. They're born brown, and then turn gray.
Mm. Okay.
So now you get them in all colors.
Right.
And they get them in all different half breed, you know, half Andalusian.
Yeah,
is what you call.
So, did you show? Is that?
Oh, yeah,
you've shown for a long time.
My very first one, we showed, and she and I did the Rose Parade 5 times.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Well, it is awesome because that sucker is 5.5 miles long.
I mean, that's a lot for a horse, first of all.
Yes.
Especially with the crowd noise and all the different...
And on the concrete, too, right?
And the concrete.
And the concrete, but all the different noises and the stuff flying around and all that.
And the kids every year try to come up with something like silly string.
Yeah. Oh, that wouldn't be a good idea, sir.
Silly string?
Oh, yeah. That
I thought you were going to say they're going to bring, like, carrots. No, they want to torment the horse.
Yes.
They want to see a stampede. And
have you been bucked off?
No.
You have not. That's a testament to you.
I have not.
And the type of horse you ride, because I was bucked off my wife's horse many times.
Really?
Yeah, don't like them. I don't like monkeys, and I don't like horses. I'm just not a fan.
Did you get bucked off a monkey?
Well, when I was riding this monkey named Jackal.
That was your first problem.
No, but you know, a lot of these horses, you have to train and you know, like
and speaking of
for
that,
showing,
yes,
not just for riding, but for showing, you know, so.
And I've gone one step further into the Leslie is crazy category.
You have.
I have a young colt, an Andalusian colt.
Yes.
That did come from directly from Spain.
On
KLM.
On a plane.
On KLM.
On plane.
He's a very strong swimmer.
Did you get him business coach or first class?
He does go cargo.
So is it
dangerous to fly a horse on an airplane?
They must do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
Okay.
You see the, you know.
Because I know sometimes people here will go show in Europe and send their horses over to show.
They have special cargo.
Airlines,
And
So that's crazy.
Over.
So how young is this young guy?
He's three.
Three. Wow. And how's he doing?
So he's got a saddle on and he's been ridden. He's working on steering at the moment.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So do you just love it?
What I really love is this is the first horse that I have been able to see from scratch. Start from scratch.
Yes, that's true.
And train and not have anything interfere or, you know, have to undo anything. With it, with the animal, and I'm very lucky because he is a sweet boy, and
despite not liking horses, it's not my thing. My wife did it; was great. But the thing I have to say is, I loved being around the stables and the horse shows, and because you get to travel some beautiful places, and it's almost a reprise for you where you can go and just kind of calm your head. And just, you know, it has to be really serene for you to be able to go do that and be out there.
The good thing about it was, and at the height when GH was really nuts, is to be able to go to the barn because a horse doesn't care what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've got to check all of that stuff.
All that stuff.
At the stall.
Yes.
Right.
Because they'll know.
They know.
And they will let you know. If you're wound up, if you're
and you affect them,
and my trainer will say, if I've come in and I've groused her out, and he said, well, you're not getting on the horse today.
Wow.
So it might, because Cherie would get very anxious.
Yeah,
you know, get a lot of anxiety before showing, and he's like, dude, you got to chill out. You got to chill because your horse is doing exactly what you're doing.
Right through that saddle,
isn't
and
that
the
crazy?
Reins right into them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's lots of lessons. To learn.
Right.
You know, one, it's a completely different discipline than you have here.
Yeah.
And this is about a one-on-one with a large animal.
Yeah.
You know.
But, it's a whole different – I mean, we're so – you can get so wrapped up in your head doing what we do in places like this. And in a situation like that, it's feel, it's connection, it's – and you got to be out of your head a little bit, right?
Like I said, I went at
– Yeah.
Those times, I could literally go across the river – go around the golf course.
Yeah. And you're right there.
In the hour. And we could gallop. And it was just like I could come back be a nice person.
what a nice contrast to be able to have different parts of your day. Wow.
Yeah, so, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, either that or drugs, I guess. I mean, one of the two, right?
Yeah, or both. Beep. Can you beep that out, Bradford? Beep.
Some people had
what are you talking about?
Some people did this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I always tell about my first day here, Les. It was the end of Gloria Monty, her last year.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't contract, but I came. And I'm at the front thing. I'm like, they're like, okay, go to room, whatever it was. And as soon as I turn the corner, the door kicks open and it's Tony Geary. like kicks open because he was upset about something. Mm-hmm. Just kicked open. I go, oh gosh, there's Luke. Okay, I'll just get to my room. Just do my, just shut up. Just go to your, just go to your room. But it was just so fun because I know that was at the tail end of your guys' run. It was 91, so you guys had, you know, a decade of.
Of that.
Of craziness, that, yes, which
of
was
craziness
awesome.
And the Eckers, but I was, and
the Snoresville. And so I was, it was cool to be able to just, it was just funny that that was my first day of, you know, Tony.
It's iconic, yeah.
Boom!
No, the Quartermain back and forth, did that take long to develop or did it, was it there right away? Like, how did you guys find, I mean, because I, when I think of you and Stuart and Jane and like, I just, that, the quips, the that way of interacting, was did it just come naturally to you guys, or was it did it develop?
It developed.
Yeah.
It developed. David Lewis was the best.
Oh, yeah?
The best of the best, because he, I think he got the true essence of Edward Quartermain.
Yeah.
I mean, Edward was a cutthroat.
I mean,
and that whole business where Tracy, you know, he fakes a heart attack and Tracy lets him.
Oh, right.
That was that whole storyline. That was I think, Doug Marlin's writing. And that was the Little Foxes. That was getting insidious. And then with Stuart and Monica.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. Sure. But with Alan and Monica, and they're fighting back and forth.
Yeah.
The whole thing,
It just worked.
It worked because you had the people that could do it.
Yeah. Right.
Bless John Engel, but he didn't want to be a bad guy.
Yeah, and you know,
sure.
And,
then, yeah,
and John was.
It just wasn't in his DNA.
Yeah, it was obviously John was great, right?
It's
obviously sweetest guy ever.
At that point, though, were you guys out of it? Because by the time I came along, when I saw the Quartermain living room stuff, you know, with Bergen and everybody, it was more lighthearted. The jabs were not meant to be insidious. You know, it wasn't true drama. It was like...
It was a different light.
It was like No Coward. It was different.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always like that, right?
I mean, right.
No.
Yeah.
Even when I came on at the first, in 91, David Lewis was still here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got to see David Lewis, and that dude was a freaking... You talk about an Iceman. That mm-hmm. dude... he was a sweet guy.
With a wink.
Yeah.
Which was so wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, it's hard. It's like it's like Brianna, who's on the show, who plays the commissioner.
Yeah.
The sweetest girl ever. She embodies sweetness.
Yeah.
And constantly, I'm like, fight. You better fight. You're the commissioner. Freaking knock us out in the scene. Kick our ass. Let's see it, you know. And the same thing with what you were saying with John Engel.
Yeah.
You know, he was just such a sweet man. It's sometimes hard. Sometimes hard to play that cutthroat character.
Well, he played more of a curmudgeon, like a lovable curmudgeon.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
almost kind of like, oh, Edward.
Right.
When the other Edward would be like, oh, Edward, don't kill me.
Yeah.
Well, because
exactly.
But in that time, he was still the patriarch of the business, right?
Yeah.
Rather than just the guy that complained about those kids.
Yeah.
Like, right.
I just remember Stuart and I. When David said he was going to hang it up, and you know, said don't you can't go,
yeah.
And he said, "What do you want me to do? Get out there and make a fool of myself?"
Oh.
Yeah.
Because he was having trouble with lines.
Yeah,
that's hard.
And what
but
could
good
you say?
For him though?
Yeah,
good
for knowing
for him.
Yeah.
You know that he was like, "Hey, I had a great run."
Yep.
And he
knew instead of having to fumble and
yeah.
You know, And he did not want to. I mean, he was just personally, he just didn't want to have that.
He was awesome. He was such a sweet guy to me, too. So nice. All those, everybody was so nice to, I mean, John. It was John, David, and then you guys, you know, you and Stuart. And it was just great because you get the best advice.
Yeah.
You know, you guys work so hard. And we saw it, and I saw that. And then you guys were like, you come in, don't dick around. We're not here to dick around. We're here to do some work. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
And we really worked together. It was getting around and let's get this off the ground as much as we, you know,
meet
in the green room. Let's run these. Let's see what we can do. And that was part of it, too, that Stuart and I, being good friends, which was great, we would work to help each other.
Yeah.
I would say many times, Stuart, don't. If you find it funny, it's not going to be funny. That's... You got to stop finding this so funny.
Yeah, Stuart was always so great, and so he was just a big clown.
But if he got angry, he was a big man. He could scare the daylights out of me.
Yes, and everybody.
Didn't take much. And everybody. It didn't take much when he
threw a fit
and stormed out. I remember chasing up around the commissary. Got to come back, Stuart.
Yeah, that's funny.
And you're.
But now, hold on. Before you go ahead, Brad. So I see on Twitter that you and Wally and Ken and who else went to have lunch with Stuart?
Jackie.
Jackie Z, right. Just recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's doing pretty good.
He's doing pretty good.
Good, good.
He's doing pretty good.
I know the fans think about him a lot and ask a lot.
About him a lot. And he's very, very happy where he is.
Good. Good. That's awesome.
And it's
good to hear.
We've got to do that.
Next time. Yeah, I told Ken. Yeah. But, you know, he can't remember. I'm like, Ken, you gotta help a brother out, man. I want to go.
That was a funny trip with Ken and I. With his foot in the cast.
Oh, yeah, right.
And me driving.
And you're driving.
And I'm driving.
You guys are on a horse. No.
And he knew exactly where the Sagebrush Cantina was, except he didn't.
Oh, yes.
Except he didn't, right.
We're driving all over hell and back,
gosh.
Screaming at each other. There's no cell service.
With no cell service.
I said, it can't be up top. I've been there before.
Yeah.
We get it. We're like three blocks away. When we finally discovered. But he was doing the whole time was, I think this is where Billy and I crashed our bikes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was that curve.
I don't know. That's so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Billy Warlock, by the way.
And Ken used to, are we talking about motorcycles?
Yeah, they used to roll around a lot.
Oh, so. That sounds.
Were you going to ask something before I interrupted?
I mean, the relationship between Monica and Tracy, you guys worked alongside each other for just almost as long as you and Stuart?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I mean the dynamic of that relationship was so fun. Was that a fun dynamic to find, or did you guys just always have that?
Oh, it was. It came easy snorking with Jane.
She was a fireball, man. She was. Yeah. She'd come in her room and it's like, oh, Tracy's here.
Yeah. So that pretty much took off from moment one.
And, yeah.
And as long as, you know, again, we're as good as the writing.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, it's so difficult when the writing isn't good. You have to work so much harder.
Sure.
To try to find the little stuff. But when it's good, it's very good. And you can
just go.
Work and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a nice ride.
Absolutely. It is a nice ride.
Absolutely. How is your life now? Like, are there things that you are? Do you have more time to yourself than you did before? And how do you like it? How do you fill your time? And what makes you happy these days?
Well, of course, the horses going.
Sure. Yeah. Is that daily?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost daily.
Well, they cost enough. You might as well get some freaking enjoyment out of this thing. Good gosh.
Because those vet bills.
Yeah. And the feeding and the training.
You've got to go over and make
boarding.
Sure you don't need to call the vet. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I hope you don't. Yeah. Right.
God. But
big needles, right? Horses, big needles.
And big pills and all that.
The horse pill isn't just a...
Everything that you might take, triple, double, quadruple it.
Yeah.
You know, like an intravenous anything.
Oh, do you ever have any mix-ups with tranquilizers or anything?
One for you, one for me, and one for you, and now I'm almost dead.
We do have a chiropractor that comes occasionally and works on the horses and then has B12 shots.
I'll take one of those. Yeah, totally. Shoot me up. Let's go.
Yeah, no, Steve has talked to me about the benefits
of those.
Yeah, I love
B12.
I will say, when I talk to people, when we've been on the road sometimes too, that being the only person that never left this show, never have done another one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all alone.
I'm all alone.
I mean, I don't have any stories.
You're an anomaly. You have enough stories from here, though.
That's true. But there are times when I thought, gosh, I should have wandered over done someplace else. But
I mean, I guess the only thing that it does is it gives you a new perspective, you know, gives you maybe like, hey, I get to play somebody new or do something else.
Yeah.
And here's some other theater group that has been doing this for a long time. Let me go in there and see what fun we can have, you know? So that's what I enjoyed about it, was it was a new challenge.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
But, you know, you can't knock being here for too either.
Yeah. I never looked at it as a negative.
Well, yeah. I've always said that's because I have no sense of direction anyway. I've always lived close to here.
Yeah, this was easy.
Yeah, and I know the way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, but in terms of like your as Monica's storylines changed and would you find like, oh gosh, creatively I'd love to do something, or I have this energy that it's not being fulfilled by this. So, and is it always been the horses, or do you write, or do you?
I got into traveling.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine that I grew up with in Connecticut, we all of a sudden, about 10 years ago, said,
let's just.
You want to do something?
Yeah.
We should do something.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the first place that wasn't on either one of our lists, but she went to Northwestern, and they have tours and group stuff. So she we would get the brochures. She would.
Yeah.
And she called me up one day and she said, what about China? And I went, okay. She never expected me to say okay.
Really?
Yeah.
And so that was sort of the beginning.
Wow.
And since then, we've gone to countries that seem to close the door right after we leave.
No more. We've had enough. Thank
you. No more.
China, Egypt.
Yeah. No, going next. You're going to the Grand Canyon, and you're going to stay here. No,
yeah. Well, no, it sounds like your timing was good then.
Yes.
Yeah. The traveling's awesome.
Very good. Yeah. And it's been something that we, you know, want to keep doing while we can.
Well, sure, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We hit Machu Picchu at the right time.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Well, and you also, I know this firsthand, you like dogs. And my dog, who is now 11, is thanks to you. So do you still have Maltese?
No, I don't have Maltese. I have a Tibetan Terrier.
Okay.
And I have a tortoise.
Yes.
Like a legit tortoise.
Yes.
I have a legit tortoise.
We probably should get into the listen, here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. Maybe they do. Leslie is a little accident prone. Okay. So that's why I asked if she's ever gotten bucked off the horse. No.
No.
The most dangerous animal in the world to probably be around. But she finds a way to break other things by doing other things, like trying to save her tortoise.
Yes.
Just recently.
Oh, right. Oh,
with the hand.
Okay. Yeah.
People can't see right now, but she just flipped Bradford off with her broken
that's
hand.
That's the finger I broke. Yeah.
So just tell the tortoise story real quick.
The tortoise story. Well, the tortoise story is he came with the house 25 years ago. All of a sudden, I looked out in the backyard and I thought there was a rock moving. And it was a little tiny thing.
Slapping your face like, I got to come down from these drugs.
Yeah, you're like, these shrooms are amazing.
Homegrown. So he could fit on the male scale. Now he's about 15 pounds.
Oh,
yeah.
He's a California desert tortoise. He is registered because they're endangered.
Okay.
And
is there any breeding? Can you breed them? Breed them tortoises?
As one of the tortoise experts said, yes, you can if you want to. And because I said, does he need a girlfriend?
Right, sure.
And he said to me, have you ever looked out over the Mojave Desert? Yeah. You ever seen a herd of tortoise? They don't need
a
girlfriend.
See.
So
yeah.
He's been fine.
Yeah.
Right.
And he has a tank where he stays inside most of the time, but then he goes out and we've had to secure everything because they burrow.
Yeah.
Except this one time where he decided to climb up the damn hill and I caught him and he was on shaky ground. And
okay.
I crawled up after him, stuck him under my right arm.
Right.
So he wouldn't break the shell.
Oh, gosh, because if they break the shell, is that it for them?
That could be curtains.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That could be curtains. And we both slid down, and I put my left hand behind me to break the fall.
And it broke the hand.
And I'm left-handed. So
oh, that's rough.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Is he a nice tortoise, or is he just
he's not loyal.
He's not.
But not snapping at you.
No, they don't snap.
Do they like affection? Do they like, what do they want to do? What do they want from you?
You just asked if.
If I met a turtle, I'd want to cuddle with it. That's just what I would want.
They're not cuddling.
They're not cuddling?
No.
No.
No. You're not cuddling with a turtle,
but they're
Bradford.
They're unlike a horse. They're a lot cheaper in the upkeep department.
What do you feed them?
Fortune and lettuce.
He gets kale. Oh, wow. Oh, he's California, so he likes friggin' kale.
Yeah, he's watching his weight.
They like hibiscus. They like dandelions. He likes blueberries, sugar snap peas.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
this dude's living it up. I'm going to come over. I'm getting kind of hungry.
I figured he'd be like eating like little pellets or something. No.
No, he wants. If you're a pet of Leslie's. No.
Okay.
You eat from Whole Foods
maybe
only.
Some tortoises somewhere eat pellets, but not at your house.
They don't. They usually, it's a mixed cell. Yeah.
Right.
And
it's a mixed
the
cell,
other good
yeah.
thing is they hibernate about 5 or 6 months a year.
Wow. So you don't see the guy.
You literally not interact with him for 5 months?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't poop. He doesn't pee. He just...
He's a perfect pet.
Yeah. How'd you get this guy?
As I said, he was there.
Came with the house.
I think the previous owners might have, because they had kids, and they might have gotten him.
Sure.
And he
escaped. That's the thing with animals that live that long. I mean, you're going to get like an African gray bird or a desert tortoise. You better have put it in your will somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Wow. But so... Thank you for my Yorkshire Terrier. Huckleberry, as I said, is 11, and it was my girlfriend and I had just moved in. My now wife we had just moved in together, and she was living in LA for the first time. I would go off to work all the time, and we're like, this seems to be a good opportunity to have a dog. Like this would be good. Leslie comes in and says, does anybody want puppies? I forget. Yeah. But
I wasn't breeding them. Yeah. It was a friend who
Yeah, so you got Huck. Yeah. Good old Huck.
Good old Huck.
I know Huck.
And of course, I was like, maybe, let me talk to, and so then we're like, we'll come take a look.
Which is the
dumbest thing anyone ever says. Let's go look.
Let's go look at the puppies.
But we didn't have any of the necessary supplies, so... Because we were like, oh, we'll just look. And then if we like one, we'll come back later. But of course, we just took them. And started our ill. We should have talked to you about training, because if you can train a horse, you can train a Yorkie probably.
No, you can't train Yorkies.
Yeah, and it did not go well.
Les, I know we're here at work and we got to wrap up, but is there any story that you want to share before? If there's not, it's all good. We love you and appreciate your time and just sitting down with us. It's been amazing.
Oh, so nice.
But if there's anything, because I know there's a ton of Quartermain stories somewhere.
There's something. I'll think about one about 15 minutes after.
Yeah, pretty much.
Totally.
That's the way it goes.
Of course.
Yeah.
This has been fun. It's been a nice walk back.
Oh, thank you, Les.
In so many ways. I'll do it again.
We'll have you again. But I just want to say that I love you, and I always have. And it's such a pleasure anytime we get to work together, because moments that we talk about a lot that just happen that aren't written always happen with us for some weird reason. Always does.
It's magic.
And I love it. And I thank you so much.
And I thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
Oh, man.
It isn't amazing. I mean, it's so amazing. I love hearing the stories from back in the day. Those are always my favorite when we get some veterans on here.
Well, not just that. I just love hearing her taking a car ride with Ken. That's a brand new story, and yet it feels like
that's true. You're right. That's funny
story. Isn't that amazing?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's so cool. Man.
Well, I've had so many conversations with her over the years, but short conversations, and I've always known she had a good sense of humor, but I didn't know the extent of it.
Oh yeah, dude. She's a feisty one too.
I mean, I love it. When we started episode one and she immediately went with "go to your room," I was like, oh, "This is great."
Totally.
This is great.
How amazing for me to have Stuart and Leslie as my TV parents, man. Good gosh,
it's so cool, man.
Like, so amazing, yeah. So
and
cool.
Again, I know we always talk about the uniqueness of our medium, but the fact that you come in your 20s and have these great role models and great people and just great humans to grow up around.
Yeah.
And then 30 years later, 20 something years later,
20.
I mean, they are, you know, a part of your strange artist family. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, absolutely. They are, for sure.
And that is, I mean, no shows last for this long.
I know, it's crazy, dude. And that's what's so cool about it is, you know, yesterday I did a video for the supporters, right? About kind of living in the past. You meet people who live in the past.
Right.
Right. They're always talking about the past and never really talking about present time or enjoying the moment or looking toward the future. But I have such fond memories looking back, and I can be so grateful and appreciative of those memories because it was once in a lifetime for me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, once you can kind of come to grips with, there's going to be seasons in your life, you know, that are special, and then you move on and it's time for a new season. Like when, you know, with us, with Port Chuck.
Oh, sure.
You know, we talked about that a lot this weekend when we were on the road, but it's like, you know, we had such an amazing 5 years. It was like so amazing, you know, and we still talk about it. We had so much fun.
We talk about it all the time.
I know, but it's not like we're lit. We're like, oh no, we got to, you know, do it again. We're living in the past.
Exactly. It's not like, oh man,
it was a great season for us.
When our lives were so much better when we were doing that.
And now
we can look at it with just fondness and not,
and now we're in another amazing season.
That's the thing.
Of our lives that I never thought we would be.
Turn, there is a season. Turn. Yeah.
Brad's been drinking. No,
whoop,
I'm kidding.
Whoop.
Yes. But, anyway, man, it's just so fun to be able to do this and have guests like Leslie, and it's just awesome.
I know. Hopefully we, I want to talk to Jackie. It would be great to visit. I don't know. Jane lives in the area still. It'd be fun to talk to her at some point.
Fun. I think she's up. Maybe she is. I don't know. I thought she might've gone up north, but.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It would be, you know, listen, man, we're going to get every GH vet there is and more.
So look out for us.
Look out.
We're coming for you. Well, we have a couple questions today. This is interesting. So this is a question from Jenna.
Okay.
She wants to know, how do actresses cry without snot coming out of their noses? Do directors just cut away from all the nose wiping so we don't see it? And what do you do if there is nose snot and you have to kiss them? Is there a way to lovingly wipe another person's nose? So this is interesting to me because I've cried a fair amount on the show, and it's interesting. When I'm connected in an acting sense and tears come to my eyes, it's not, it doesn't, I haven't got to an all out, like
snotting, the snotting fest. Yeah. So obviously, you know, Jenna might be a crier and a snotter.
Right.
Right. I mean, some people are.
Sure.
You know, and when people get worked up, you know, cause I always made the joke about, you're not going to win an Emmy unless you're crying and snotting.
Right. Snotting gets the gold.
Yeah, it's not and gets the trophy, right? So, and you'll see a lot of guys who won. Of course, they're great actors, but they're crying and snot's coming down their face.
Well, it's that old adage with the Oscars. Like, if you make yourself ugly, you'll get an Oscar.
Right.
Like,
right.
Put on a prosthetic nose or, like, sure. Play someone, you know, like, and I think there is something to that in soaps. Like, if you just let yourself go in your cry and not think about how you're looking and
right and you lay it all out there
and
because I remember when Tyler won
he
was snotting and crying, and I'm like, dude, you just let it all out on the screen, you know. But hopefully, usually at that point, if it's during a scene like that, then it's not time for a love scene. So
no, well, because so if you're crying or if tears come to your eyes in a happy emotional scene that leads to romance, I feel like the snotty cries are like super angry, or I've lost
everybody.
I've lost like the most important person in my life, like dead. Like
I've lost Spinelli.
Super dead. Thank you. You bet it's not if I die. You bet it's not.
I might snot if you. You didn't snot when I died, bitch.
I wasn't. Was I there?
You're such a good friend. Was I there?
No, I'm trying to remember when like he found out. I didn't like find your body. No one found your body.
Well, no, because I'm right
here.
It
was like it was a weird thing, man. Where like he can't be dead, right? He can't be.
Well, but I know. I think it was more people were just didn't believe it.
It was like a slow burn of it's no, like, no, he can't be. He guy must be like it was a weird.
Yeah, so it was a slow burn. So there was no actual moment like there's his body. He's dead. I'm gonna cry. It was
right.
He's dead. Is he dead? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are really?
Right.
Oh, he is dead. Oh, hey, Drew. Here's all his money.
Well, but like you know, when Maura had Kiki's body in a body bag.
Mm-hmm. I know it's a tough
like,
one.
Like that's yeah, you know that tough. That's when you know, and you can take it any way. You can be like in denial, or you can be
totally
like, you know like yeah. So anyway, so the snotting is you can't.
But there are times when you're in the scene. And yes, somebody, if they're snotting and they're aware enough, they can wipe it away. And of course, in the edit, they would cut around that. Right?
That is true.
Right. So they could. Or if you know it's going to be an emotional scene and you're kind of taking care of your partner, you know, sometimes I'll look to see if there is Kleenex around or mm-hmm. like a napkin if we're at the Metro Court or for somewhere in the, you know, even in the houses, they always have those bars in front.
Right, little drink carts.
Yeah, little drink carts. So maybe there's a napkin there, just to kind of be aware enough to be like, okay, if they're laying it out, we don't want to have to stop because there's 18 boogers
you
know, coming down like you know, like a freaking waterfall. So you know, you want to be able to get the scene going. But yes, you can definitely cut around it.
You are so generous. What a guy. What a guy.
You're welcome.
You're one of those guys that carries around a hanky. Have you ever carried around a hanky?
No, I don't have a hanky, dude.
Well, where would you put it? You don't have a pocket and you don't have a sleeve that you can tuck it in because you always wear shorts.
Well, I do have jeans and those do have pockets. Last time.
You're going to pull a hanky out of your dirty back pocket?
Hey, listen.
Hey, I've been sitting on this hanky all day. Here, let me put it in your face.
Well, at least I'm not wearing jeggings. So at least I have. Can you imagine? That's we always joke about the new Jason. That's the new Jason. He new wears jeggings,
and he tucks his hanky in between his jeggings. And oh wow, there's no room for hanky there.
There's no room.
Just
buddy.
A little hanky. Hanky.
Hanky.
Oh,
two old guys. Welcome.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next question is from Kelly up in Prince Edward Island. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Yes, Kelly. Thanks, Jenna, for your question. Kelly, next.
Yes. What is the oldest set still used on GH, and what is the newest set? And so that was interesting to me. The hospital has undergone a renovation.
Many.
So Kelly's is pretty old.
I would have to say. And I'm
when they because we learned from Leslie that the floating rib was an actual place, but I think this one is probably a newer one. The floating rib is not the old floating.
No, I'm sure it's not. I would have to say if I can think about it, I would have to say Kelly's for sure
because Kelly's predates
everybody.
Well, what about the Quartermain Mansion? Is that
but that's gone through renos too?
It
right?
has.
Like the Quartermain Den probably. But we don't see that much. And the Quartermain Foyer.
Right.
And then Kelly's. I would have to say those are probably closest to existing how they were 20 years ago as opposed to the hospital got a whole new.
Right.
Right. So yeah. I would say definitely Kelly. I love going into Kelly's, dude. It brings back, for me, it brings back memories because I always love going through, like we're coming up to fall on the show.
Yeah.
I love when the sets are decorated for fall and winter.
And when Kelly's comes out with their pumpkin spice latte.
Yes, and then now they have lattes, and you can get a latte with your really bad chili. So, because I was actually in Kelly's the other
day. I love their menu. It's like,
I know.
Steak and eggs, $2.95.
Yeah, it's like McDonald's, $1 menu.
Yeah.
I know. The prices are so cheap. I'm like, dude, you guys got to up those prices, man.
I know, right?
Where do you get chili for $2, $3? Yeah, nowhere. No you get a can of chili for $3.
I know, yeah.
So, but it's always fun going into Kelly's because man, I've been going in there for 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't eat there, but I go in there.
No.
Do not eat at Kelly's.
Black coffee is their specialty.
Totally. Great black coffee. And that's
great.
So I would say Kelly, and the newest stuff is, you know, Sonny's Kitchen has to be the newest staple set there is. I mean, sometimes they'll put up a remote bedroom or whatever.
Right. They did a Metro Court hotel room.
Right. Right.
But so they'll
pop those up. Yeah.
And those are probably repurposed sets from other things.
Correct.
They didn't build it just for me. You know, those are like,
right. Right. So
yeah,
I would say Sonny's Kitchen's the newest and the most famous. Sonny's Kitchen is insta famous for sure.
Insta famous.
It's amazing.
He can do a whole like Food Network show from there.
Oh dude, totally. He's totally.
Dude, we should have like Giarda De Laurentiis like just
No. What you and I should do, an interview show in Sonny's Kitchen. That's what we should do.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I'm going to talk to somebody.
Well, we're making something?
No, we don't need to make nothing. We sit down in the kitchen and talk. Have some coffee. A little coffee talk.
Coffee talk in Sonny's Kitchen.
There you go.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Now we just gave away the idea. Darn it.
Well, it's free. Take it. Whatever, dude.
Yeah, all you listening, good luck getting your coffee talk show in Sonny's set at General Hospital.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Leslie.
Thank you all.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, this is the kind of episode, I mean, I like to think all of our episodes are shareable, but for any GH fan that has been a long-term fan, this is a great one to share.
Yeah, totally. And Leslie's a rock star, and we're just, you know, we're so blessed to be able to do this. And, you know, we're going on the road again, and we have to always say this, and people are probably like, shut up already.
We know. But the thing is, we still get those people that are like, how come we didn't know? So that's why we hit you over.
Right. But it's exciting, too, because we're trying to do new cities. We're almost 2020 January's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
This week,
right,
or beginning of next week.
Right.
February's getting locked in. I'm already looking at May.
You're a beast.
You know, and it's gonna be amazing in May.
Because
we're gonna do some cool stuff in May.
Yeah.
And then we're looking at maybe a weekend with you and I.
Well, isn't that what you mean, with no other people, just you and me? Like, are we going on vacation?
No. Well, it wouldn't be a vacation.
Just a weekend. Just a weekend away.
No, but like we're doing a almost like a getaway weekend.
Yes.
So where we're going to do a live podcast.
Yes.
And have guests with us.
Right.
And then we're going to do Stone Cold and the Jackal show.
Right.
And then we're going to do our SC&J mixtape performance.
Oh.
All in one weekend at one place. And we're trying for the Mohegan Sun.
We've been talking about that for.
I know. So this is gonna. This could happen in 2020.
This is breaking news.
This is breaking news. It's gonna be a crazy weekend because we get to hang out with people for 2.5 days straight.
And it's not gonna be on a boat.
Hell no, dude! I ain't getting on a boat anymore, dude. After the Haunted Star, I'm over boats, bro.
Well, hey guys, so that a lot to look forward to. But next up is Portland, Oregon, and Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah, get your tickets. It will sell out up there for
sure. Yeah, October.
We're close now, and we're still 4 weeks out. And Detroit, Nashville. Detroit has been sold out. Nashville's on its way, so make sure you grab your tickets.
Tacoma is October 26th. Portland is October 27th. Go to stonecoldandthejackal.com. Click on tour dates and appearances. They'll be at the very top, and you can click those links directly there. We are so excited, and
so excited,
2020,
man.
I mean, it's going to get crazy. It's even crazier.
Even crazier. Awesome. That's all I have to say.
So thank you guys for being on this journey with us.
Thank you guys. We're having so much fun. We appreciate you guys so much.
And we'll be talking to you next week.
Have a great day.
If you like our show, you're going to love The Hollywood Filter on Podcast One. Join Jessica Hall and Mel Lamprey as they peel back the filter and see what's really going on in Hollywood. From top LA beauty trends to events and celebrity goings-on, get a glimpse of the unfiltered Hollywood that you rarely see. You thought you knew LA, but do you? Download new episodes of The Hollywood Filter every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or just the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in.
Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas.
Save big money at Menards. Keep your lawn looking its best with Menards' premium four-part fertilizer program. Each step is tailor-made for the health of your lawn. Get started this spring with a bag of crabgrass preventer with lawn food. Apply just once early in the spring to feed your lawn for over 2 months. Pick it up in our garden center today and check out Menards.com for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.